Who remembers the old show MASH? Remember MASH? Yeah. Was that one of your favorites, Gloria? Not yours. Oh, Jax. Okay, he liked MASH. I remember Pastor Al loved MASH. He's like, I can't go to sleep at night until I've seen MASH. And he loved MASH. There was an episode where there was this script, this government script that was issued to military personnel. And they used that in lieu of cash money, right? And so the script, after a while, they would collect all the old script and they would issue new script. And so when you got the old, when it expired, it wasn't going to be good anymore. So you traded in your old to get the new, which was good. And there's this one episode where Winchester tries to scam all the local people, and he's giving them like 10 cents on the dollar for their old script, and then he's going to make all this money off of it. And they have it figured out that they prevent him from getting back into camp to exchange his script. And just as a side note, maybe you remember that episode. Gloria doesn't, because she didn't like that show, but that's okay. I'm sure Al would have remembered it. But so the point is, they took this old script, and as they sowed, if I can put it this way, they sowed their old script, they reaped the new script. And they got a dollar for a dollar. So you give them $1 of old script, and you receive $1 of new script, right? My sense is that the Lord, and remember, this is part of our vision that Pastor Steph shared with us recently, to sow generously. Sow generously. And I believe that this word is for us across the board. This is kind of a whosoever will, you can reap from this. You can benefit from this. But I feel like there are some specific people that it applies to as well. What I'm getting at is, as we are obedient to sow where the Lord is leading us to sow, that we will reap, and it won't be a dollar for a dollar. There will be multiplication involved. So in other words, you give $1 and you get $10 in return. That would be good, wouldn't it? Right? Or, you know, the word talks about 30, 60, 100-fold. How would that be? You give a dollar, you get $100 in return. And this is the sense that the Lord is showing me that he has for us in this season. Now, I'm talking about currency, I'm talking about money here, but it doesn't just apply to that. That's just an easy way to kind of convey what I feel the Lord is speaking to us. That as we sow generously into the places, into the people that he is asking us to sow into, that we will reap exponentially. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It won't be a dollar for a dollar. It will be exponential. It will be, the multiplication will happen. And so I feel, again, like this is across the board, but I really feel like, Marty, that this is in your wheelhouse for this season. And the Lord is speaking this, not only in the area of finances, but in other areas as well, where he will increase different things that you've been contending for. And I feel like Sharon is in that camp as well. And I feel like Mike Duncan is in that camp as well. So I just want to encourage you three and all of us to be aware of those places where the Lord is asking us to sow. And it's not like we sow grudgingly or we sow, oh, I got to give this up. No, no, no. You're sowing with the expectation of reaping. Okay? You're not giving up anything. You're trading up with the Lord. He's going to give you an upgrade. Amen? And so I just want to encourage us with that word, to sow generously where he's leading us to sow, with the expectation that there's going to be a harvest on that seed that we sow. Amen? Okay. I think we're ready to... Alrighty. Well, good morning. Just want to give a quick welcome to our friends online. It's so great to have you with us. And as we always share with you, if you don't have a home church, we would love to have you visit us on a Sunday morning. Our gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, feel free to check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. It is so great to have you with us, whether you're watching live or watching on a replay. I just really hope that you feel this connection that we have with you and that you're able to receive what the Lord has for you today. Amen? So welcome. Great to have you with us. I go to a monthly gathering called Waterfall that a friend of mine, Steve Grove, down in Chambersburg hosts. And it's very similar to our encounter night that we have, in that you show up and they have live worship, and it's just kind of a worship service that's very open, very free. People often share prophetically, and we've seen people healed, we've seen words of knowledge, we've seen prophetic, we've seen all kinds of great things happen. And I was at one of these gatherings maybe 2.5 or more years ago, or no, 1.5 years ago, that's when it was, about 1.5 years ago. And it was in like the warmer months, maybe the end of summer or something like that. Anyway, at this gathering, I really had this prompting by Holy Spirit to share a word that we were to, as a group, pray for people that the Lord had given them a dream. That's how he put it. We were to pray for the God dreams, the things that the Lord had laid on people's hearts. And maybe these dreams seem very big. Maybe they even seemed unattainable. Maybe they seemed impossible to the person who the Lord had given this dream to. But we were to specifically be intentional to pray about the God dreams. And there was a man there that evening whose name is Steve. Now, this isn't my friend Steve Grove. This is another Steve. We had a great poker hand. We had like three Steves, you know. But so this other Steve, he spoke up and said, the Lord's laid this thing on my heart. And I really have a burden to minister to homeless veterans. And I want to develop an organization that has a facility where we can literally house homeless veterans and get them the help that they need with PTSD or preparing for a job or whatever other services that they need. That was what he wanted to do. And it seemed like a big thing in his mind. I mean, you can imagine, you know, just getting a property alone, that's a pretty big deal, right? And then getting all the necessary permits or whatever that you need from local government to make this thing happen, that could be a very daunting thing. Nevertheless, we responded, and he responded to the word that evening, and we prayed about this God dream that the Lord had given Steve. So fast forward to, this might not be precise, but I'm guessing like 6-8 months after the fact. Because shortly after that meeting, I know I'm giving you a lot of details, but this is all part of the story. Shortly after that waterfall where we prayed for his God dream, he and his wife and family actually moved to Altoona. So I didn't see him for a while until I was ministering at a men's conference out in Ohio. And again, this was like 6-8 months later. And Steve happened to be there. And we started to chat. And he said, Kurt, you're not going to believe this. He said, I am so blown away by what the Lord has been doing over that God dream that we prayed about at Waterfall 6-8 months ago. And he started to just kind of unpack this, what the Lord had been doing. And like his organization was being developed. And I think there was like a board that was in place. And they were starting to share the vision with other people. And people were excited about it and wanted to be a part of it. Even people in government, like local and I think state government, heard about it and they were excited about it. And there were like pledges and commitments made, like financial and otherwise, to make this thing happen. And the Lord was starting to manifest this thing right in front of Steve's eyes. This God dream that seemed so big, that seemed maybe out of reach to him. But when the word of the Lord came and he responded to that word, God did something amazing in Steve's life. Isn't that awesome? Can you see how it was important for Steve to hear that word that night at Waterfall and engage with that word and respond to it? And it was as a result of that that he saw the Lord move in his life in a powerful way. My sense is that I have a very simple, short message that I want to share this morning. But my sense is there are people here and online as well that you need to hear this message today. And that as you engage with this message, you are going to see the Lord accelerate some things in your spirit, in your heart, the way that the Lord accelerated some things with Steve's God dream. Now, it's not going to look like you starting a nonprofit, starting an organization. It's going to be some things internally happening in your heart, happening in your spirit, shifting some mindsets, shifting some thought processes, shifting how you maybe even see yourself. So I believe that this is a God moment. This is a divine setup. It's a good setup, okay? And that some people need to hear this message. As you respond to it, you will see the Lord accelerate some things in you. Amen? So we have a couple of foundational scriptures that I want to just remind us of before we get into it. You've heard me share James 4:6 multiple times over the past few months. And it simply says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so I am encouraging us again to be those that have a humble heart, where we place God in the priority that he should be, and that we come under, that we submit to him, that we yield our hearts to his preferences, to his way, to his will, and that we make him the priority and that we come in humbly under him. That has to happen for any of this to kind of materialize what we're going to be talking about this morning, that we have humble hearts, that we choose to intentionally walk in humility before the Lord and with each other as well. And then 1 John 1:9, maybe we can even just turn there real quick and look at that verse. If you have your Bible with you or your Bible app on your phone, let's just look at 1 John 1:9, very familiar verse of Scripture, where John writes, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Isn't that an amazing promise that we have from the Lord? If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful. Not he might. If he's in a good mood, he might forgive you. Not if you say it just the right way, then maybe you got a good chance at him forgiving you. No. He's so good. He's so full of love. He's so full of grace. And he wants to impart that to us. But we have a part to play in this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful. I'm glad for the faithfulness of God. Amen. And let's think about this for a while. The contrast between how do you feel when you have sinned and you know you have sinned and you know you have done something that's not pleasing to the Lord, or you've hurt somebody else because of your sin. How do you feel? Just if you want to just call out a few things. How do you feel when you know you've sinned? You know you've fallen short. Do you feel good? No. Feel shame? Yes. Guilt? Very good. Yes, that's what we feel, right? We've been there, done that. What else do you feel? Disappointed in yourself? Yes. What's that? Sad. Yes, Amanda. Very good. Very good. We feel all those things when we've sinned, right? So let's flip it now. And how do we feel when we've been forgiven of something? Like, think of this. Like, suddenly I owe another person $10,000. And I don't have the $10,000 to pay him. And that person, I owe Ashton $10,000. Right? Heck yeah, that's right. Make the check to Ashton Peffer, right? So I owe Ashton $10,000, and Ashton comes to me and he says, "You know what, Kurt? That $10,000 that you owe me, I forgive you of that debt." How do I feel now? Oh, happy. Yeah. I feel light all of a sudden. Relieved. Yes. Yes, Lisa. I just had a load lifted off of me, right? Yeah. And that's how we feel when we've been forgiven, when we receive the forgiveness that God is extending to us. So it's like day and night, isn't it? It's like black and white. When I have sinned, until I receive forgiveness, I feel lousy, I feel disappointed, I feel all those things that we talked about. But when I receive the forgiveness of God, game changer. Amen? Yeah, game changer. I'm so thankful for His faithfulness and for the forgiveness that God continually extends to us. Amen? And this is demonstrated so well. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And we'll look at a familiar parable that Jesus taught. And it's the parable of the prodigal. And you'll remember that there was this certain man who had two sons, right? And the younger of the two sons went to his father and said, "I want my inheritance now." And so the father gave him his inheritance. The son went away from his father to a different country, and he blew it all on prodigal living, on wasteful living. And soon after that, the parable goes that there was a famine in the land, and the son found himself in lack, right? He blew his inheritance, he's in lack, there's a famine, and it says that he joined himself to a citizen of that country, which under Jewish law was a big no-no, right? You didn't even communicate, really, with people who were not Jewish. And then the man that he joined himself to had him feeding the pigs. And any good Jewish man knew that the pigs were very unclean animals, according to Jewish law, and you'd never be caught doing that. So you can see how his sin, his wasteful, prodigal living, resulted in more sin. So he went from bad to worse, you might say, right? And let's just pick it up in verse 17. Again, as Jesus is telling this parable, he says, "But when he came to himself," talking about this son, this prodigal son, "when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?' He decides, 'I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Right? And we're familiar with this parable, right? He went from bad to worse. Blew his inheritance. Now he's joined with this foreigner and he's feeding pigs. And he's in lack. And he says, "You know what? The servants in my father's house have it better than I do. But I realize because of all the bad choices that I make, because of all the sin in my life, I'm no longer worthy to be a son." That's how he saw himself as a result of the sin that was in his life. My question is, how did his father see him? His father saw him completely different. We'll get to that in just a moment. But these are some of the effects that sin can have on us. We start to have wrong thinking because of sin, because we haven't received forgiveness. This guy said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called his son." Really? We're going to read something different in just a minute. But that wrong thinking can come in as a result of our sin. And what I'm saying today is, let's not get stuck in the pig pen, if I can put it that way. Let's not get stuck in that wrong thinking that comes as a result of our sin. Let's not get stuck there. Because we won't be able to achieve and walk in everything that God has called us to do if we have that wrong way of thinking. I can no longer be a son. I've blown it too badly. No, you haven't actually. I don't deserve it. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We don't earn it. But his love and acceptance from God, he freely gives to us. Remember, he is faithful. He is faithful. And help him out. Well, that's a good question, Amanda. We'll talk about that next time, hon, okay? That's a great question. I can see your wheels are turning. Yeah, yeah, good question. So he is faithful. But there are effects that can happen as a result of our sin. We can start to get wrong thinking. It's a bad place to be in. And what I'm encouraging us is to, if we do have sin in our lives, to not allow that to hold us back, to not allow that to keep us in this wrong way of thinking, but to deal with it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. And when we confess our sin, all the stuff that we felt prior to receiving forgiveness, that suddenly changed when we receive the forgiveness of God. We feel light. We feel free. We feel accepted. We feel loved. We feel that we have much value, not no value, right? And this is no joke. David talks about this in Psalm 32. If you want to turn there quickly, we'll look at that. When we're in this place where we've sinned and we haven't dealt with it, if you turn to Psalm 32, it starts in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Amen. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now listen to this in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. When I kept that sin inside and I didn't deal with it, I just stayed in that place. I just stayed in the pig pen. I just stayed in all the stuff that I was feeling as a result of my sin. It says, my bones grew old. I was groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. Listen, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. It becomes such a dry place when we have sin that we haven't dealt with. Our bones grow old. We moan, we groan. It's a dry place. Our vitality is turned to the drought of summer. Not a good picture that the psalmist is painting for us. And we know it because we've experienced this, right? It says then, verse 5, here's where the shift happens. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Hallelujah. Remember, he's faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful. If we do our part, he does his part. He's so good. He's so faithful. Amen? And we receive forgiveness, and that changes us. Like we go from darkness to light. We go from heaviness to freedom. Amen? We go from feeling terrible about ourselves, I'm no longer worthy to be a son, to, yes, I am his son. He is pleased with me. When we deal with our sin and receive the forgiveness that he's faithful to give to us. Amen? So back to the prodigal. Back to Luke 15. So remember, when we left him, he was in the pig pen and he had decided, I'm going to at least go back to my father's house and be one of his servants and at least have something to eat. I'm no longer worthy to be his son. So he has this whole thing, this whole spiel figured out in his head that he's going to tell his father when he goes back, right? And it says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, what a picture of God, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father was looking for his son. And he wasn't looking for him so that he could point out all the shortcomings. He wasn't looking for his son so he could be critical of him and just, "Ooh, you did this wrong. Oh, you did that." No. It said that he had compassion on him. And he ran. The father ran to the son. And he hugged him and he kissed him. He had nothing but acceptance and love that he was just lavishing on his son. Verse 21, and the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." So the son goes into this speech that he had memorized in his mind. Because again, because of his sin, he feels like that disqualifies from me being considered his son anymore. And I love the father. It's like he blows right through a stop sign, right? He doesn't even consider what the son is saying. Because all he has is a heart of compassion. All he has is a heart of love that he wants to pour out on his boy. All he has is forgiveness that he wants to extend to his son. All he has in his mind is restoration. He doesn't want to have the separation from his son. He wants to have closeness. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. It is so different what the son had in mind that was going to happen versus what actually happened. Isn't it? Because the father is faithful. He is faithful. He wants restoration. He wants reconciliation. He doesn't want to be separated from his children. The son thought, at best, "I'll go back, work for my dad, and at least I'll be able to eat. I'll never be a son again." And he got the complete opposite from his father, because the father is faithful. That is so good. And so let's not stay stuck in that place where, you know, bless you. Let's not stay stuck in that place where we start to have wrong thinking. "I'm no longer worthy to be a son." Let's not stay in that place where our bones grow old, where it becomes a drought of summer. It becomes this dry place. Don't stay there. Deal with it. Go to the Father. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. And deal with it and receive that change that happens that we talked about earlier, from heaviness to lightness, from darkness to light. Deal with it, though. Don't stay in that place. Now, one thing that I want to touch on, and I'm going to wrap up here shortly, is out of Romans 6. Let's just take a look at Romans 6 quickly. And I just want to be very clear on what I am not saying. Sometimes that's good that we talk about what we're not saying as well as what we are saying. What I am not saying is, okay, he's so faithful, he's so good, get away with everything you can because he's going to forgive you in the end. I am not saying that one bit, right? Because if we are true followers and disciples of Jesus, we will want to do those things that are pleasing to him. And it will grieve our heart when we do sin. So I am not saying it's a free-for-all and have at it because God will forgive you in the end anyway. Not saying that. And this text deals with that. Paul writes in verse 1 of chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that is something that the Lord processes in us. He processes in us this idea that we are walking in newness of life. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. And that is a process. We don't just flip a switch and now we know it all. It's a process that the Holy Spirit is faithful to teach us. And as we engage with him, he will teach us that truth. And we will become more confident, and we will become stronger in our true identity as a new creation in Christ Jesus, as a son and daughter of the Most High. That will become stronger and stronger in our hearts and in our spirit as we allow Holy Spirit to teach us. Amen? Now, along the way, sometimes there are missteps. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we make poor decisions. And sometimes we sin. And in those moments, it's so critical for us to not get stuck in that place, not get stuck in the wrong thinking, but to remember, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Amen? Because listen, we can't get stuck in that place. God still has a destiny for each of us. God still has plans and purposes for each of us. But if we're stuck in this place where we are convinced, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son, how can we walk in these good works that Jesus has for us? Think of the Apostle Peter. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Actually, let's just turn there real quick. In Matthew 26, and I'm going to wrap up with this. This is my first closing, okay? I get 2 more. In case I need them. Matthew 26. Let's just read this quickly. It says in verse 69, now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he, Peter, denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied it with an oath and said, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Now put yourself in Peter's shoes. How do you feel at this moment? You feel like dirt. In, I think it's Luke's version, it says, whenever he denied him the 3rd time, it said that the Lord turned and looked at him. Can you imagine that glance from the Lord after you've just denied him for the 3rd time and you cursed him? You want to talk about low. I don't know you feel much lower than that. And what do you think were the thoughts that might have been starting to go through Peter's head? Well, I know Jesus had plans for me, but they're all null and void now because I just blew it too badly, right? I know he said he had all this great stuff that he wanted me to do, but I don't see how that can happen now. I just blew it too bad. I denied him 3 times, and then they crucified him. When he needed me most, I turned my back on him. Oh, just imagine the weight that he must have been carrying around because of the poor choices that he made. But he had an encounter with Jesus not long after this. And God is faithful. And Jesus was faithful to Peter. And on the shore, they had this conversation. And Peter worked things out with Jesus. And he was restored. He can't stay in that place of guilt, of shame, of rejection, of I'm no longer a son. Why? Because not too long down the road, he's going to preach a powerful message and 3,000 people are going to be added to the church. He can't stay in this place. He's got to deal with it because God is faithful and he still has a destiny for Peter. He still has plans and purposes for Peter. He still has a mission for Peter, and he still has it for us as well. And so we can't stay in the pig pen. We can't stay in that wrong thinking. We can't stay in that dry place where our bones are just aching and growing old. We got to deal with it so we can move on in the plans and purposes that God has for us. Amen? Amen. And if you've been carrying some stuff around, today is your day to deal with it. Amen? And we are going to take a few moments here. I'm going to ask Andrew to come up and just play some on the guitar quietly. And if you feel like, gosh, I have been in the pig pen for fill in the blank, however long, today is your day. Today is your day online as well. You can deal with that sin. You can deal with all the stuff that you're feeling because God is faithful. And you can receive the newness that his forgiveness brings. We're going to do it right now. And so maybe we just dim the lights a little bit. And I'm going to say goodbye to our Facebook friends in just a moment. But what we're going to do is just, we're going to deal with that. We're going to do our part. We're going to confess our sins to him. This is just something between you and God. We're not going to make a big show about it. We're not going to, it's, again, just between you and God. So in your heart, if you need to, confess the things that you've been carrying around and ask for his forgiveness and receive the freedom of forgiveness that he offers to you today so that you can continue to walk in the plans and purposes that he has for you. Amen? Let me just pray a short prayer. We'll say goodbye to our Facebook friends, and then we'll have a time here where we'll deal with God. So, Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. And we thank you for the opportunity that you are giving to us today to deal with the things that, the crud, as it were, that we have been carrying around for maybe a long time that has prevented us from walking in the good works that you have for us. So we unload that today. We give that to you today. We confess that to you today. And we receive the forgiveness that you have for us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for the newness that you are imparting to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for release that you are bringing. That as we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that you would change any wrong thinking that we've picked up along the way. Lord, that you would bring back vitality where the drought of summer has come in. Lord, where our bones have grown old, that you would bring restoration, that you would restore the youth to us, Lord, as we receive the forgiveness that you freely give to us. Thank you that today is a new day. Thank you that we're not hindered from walking in the plans and purposes that you have for us. We're no longer hindered by wrong thinking from walking in the good works that you have predestined for us to walk in. Huh. And so we just thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. You are so good. And you are the desire of our heart. You are the craving of our soul. We just want more of you, Lord. We just want more of you. And so we thank you for this forgiveness that we're able to receive from you today. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm thankful for moments like these. I'm thankful that we will see an acceleration happen as a result of what we did today with the Lord. Just like Steve saw an acceleration of this organization coming into being, we're going to see an acceleration in our hearts and in our spirits of shedding wrong thinking and coming into agreement with kingdom thinking. That's not only going to be a blessing to us, but a blessing to others as well. Amen. So be encouraged, saints. Amen.